The Life Lottery, Human Rights Trilogy, Book 3. Written by Ian Irvine and read by James Saunders. Irith Hardy didn't move from the viewport. If she had, claustrophobia would have overcome her. Besides, she'd been waiting 2 years for this dive, and no intrusion from the dismal world above was going to distract her. Her research was her life, her friend, her lover, and comforter. It could not turn her mind off after she collapsed into bed, though, nor could it keep the recurring nightmares at bay. The submersible's floodlights illuminated grey mud between the knobs of tubeworm-encrusted basalt. A white fish swam by, long and thin, like a length of squashed plastic pipe.
"It's for you, Dr. Hardy," said Fred, the pilot.
Irith swore. "What now? We only left the surface an hour ago." Fred passed her the receiver. "It's Jacques Cuvier, the expedition leader on the RV Thor Heyerdahl above." "It better be important." She took it. "Irith here?" Jacques came on the line, his normally mellow voice made adenoidal by the ancient instrument.
"You are to come up, please."
"Is it an emergency?"
"Hardly likely, or the surface controller would be talking the pilot through it."
"No, come up at once."
Irith's co-observer, Jason Slythe, spun around. "What's the matter?" She put her hand over the mouthpiece.
"Surely he can't mean now. I've been waiting years for this."
Not to mention writing 53 research proposals and begging and scrounging every cent of the $95,000 per day it cost for the 60-year-old submersible, all her equipment, and the rusting 70-meter research vessel required to support it. Jason shrugged. Jacques said something she didn't catch as the underwater phone gurgled like a toilet flushing. It was always causing trouble. The maintenance budget was totally inadequate. It gave her an idea.
"Hello?" she said loudly. "Jacques? Jacques?"
"Lost him," she said, then covered the mouthpiece again. "Go down to Station 1, Fred." He adjusted the trim by pumping mercury from the aft tank to the forward one.
"But
Jacques hasn't told you to come up."
"No.
And it's not an emergency." He grinned. Fred was the dependable type, as pilots had to be, but there was enough rebel in him to enjoy someone else breaking the rules. Irith put the receiver into an empty Milo tin used for storing odds and ends and taped the lid on over the cord. "I couldn't make out what he was saying, so we go on with the mission." "You're going to be in the shit when we surface," Jason fretted. He was the worrying type. "You don't have to worry. You're not in charge." The Melvin proceeded downslope to 1,642 metres, keeping above the bottom so the wash from the thrusters did not stir up the mud. Irith watched the echo sounder with one eye while using the external video and still cameras with the other.